Well, we're in Mark chapter 4, and so if you have a Bible, turn there with me to Mark chapter 4, and we're picking it up from where we left off a few weeks ago. It's been actually, been a few weeks since we've been together here, and so we covered the first 20 verses a few weeks ago as we looked at the parable of the sower and the seed as it's widely recognized as. But more rightly, it's the parable of the soils, because here in Mark chapter 4, in those first 20 verses, Jesus is laying out for us here the condition of man's heart. As the seed goes out and is scattered, and we all have a part to play in that, don't we? Jesus here is identifying himself as scattering the seed, but here now that's been passed on to his disciples, it's been passed on to his followers, to be those that are scattering the seed. And Jesus tells us here in Mark's gospel what that seed exactly is. We don't have to try to guess at this here. We don't have to try to figure it out. I had one time listening to somebody teaching. They were taking up an offering. And so they were going through this account. And he says, and the seed here is money. And how when we sow that money, that we're going to see a great harvest come of it. And I'm thinking, buddy, can you just read maybe three more verses down and you will see it all laid out to you where Jesus says the seed is the word of God. Very simple. That's what we're dealing with here. So it's dealing with the word that is going out, and we all have a part to play in that, don't we? In sharing the word of God, sharing the gospel. We're going to be talking today about the power that there is within that seed, within the word of God. But so the seed goes out and it's going to lay or be cast upon four different conditions, four types of soils. And that's what Jesus is getting at. And that's why it's really more better referred to as the parable of the soils. There's the heart where the seed is cast and Satan comes and he just plucks that up right away, takes it, and it's gone. We don't even have a chance to really do anything with it, but Satan just comes and deceives us and takes it away. And then it's also cast on that hard ground, that stony ground where it is unable to take any root, you see. And it's also cast upon that thin soil. And then there's the hard soil where, you know, it springs up, but it doesn't have any root, and the cares of this life and all the concerns and things of that come and take it away. But then there's the good, solid heart where it is received and it's taken in, and it bears much fruit, you see, of course. And so Jesus is dealing with this here now, and he's teaching in Mark 4, going through a lot of different parables, oftentimes known as the kingdom parables here. And we know, again, as we looked at this a few weeks ago, that a parable was a common way for Jesus to cast out that truth. And that's kind of the idea of what parable means. You can break it down here into two different words. Para, to come alongside, like a paramedic is going to be doing here in a second, comes alongside somebody who's in need. Para, to come alongside, and then bole, which means there to cast. And so what Jesus is doing is he's taking an earthly story, but then alongside of that, he's casting out a very significant spiritual truth in a sense. So oftentimes parables has been seen as an earthly story with a heavenly message or a heavenly meaning beside it. So that's what a parable is. And so as we move along now in chapter 4, picking up in verse 21, we're going to be looking at the parable of the lamp to begin with. Look at verse 21 with me. Also, he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, but whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. So here's the fact now that Jesus lays out as he's talking about that seed that's going out and being cast upon different conditions of the heart. As we receive that word in and allow it to rest upon fertile soil of our heart, it's going to grow, it's going to produce fruit. But the point of that is so that we can go now and be light bearers of that good news, of that gospel, of the word of God that's planted on our heart. Jesus doesn't want us to be those that are just taking in the word and kind of tucking it away. Oh, that's a great treasure. Oh, thank you for your word, God. I'm going to put it back in the recesses of my heart. And, well, I'm going to turn to that in times of need or difficulty. But, you know, the rest of the time I should be fine. Sometimes Christians can live that way. And they have this wonderful treasure that they've kept all for themselves. What Jesus is saying here is, listen, we need to be shining that light out. Has anybody ever had the power go out in their room and you light candles, right? And you want to see some light come into the darkness. Now, it'd be really silly if you suddenly just started to cover all those candles. Oh man, we don't, you know, we start covering over those candles or we cover over a lamp. It's going to rob you of that light that you need. It doesn't make any sense, you see. And many people are doing just that in their lives. They have this incredible treasure. They have this gospel, yet they're just covering it up. They're saying, oh man, I don't want to be seen as one of those weirdos that go to church, some of those Jesus freaks, man. Oh, I got to blend in. I got to fit in. I'm gonna hide this light that I've been given. And sadly, that's what many people are doing. Yet Jesus says, listen, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be put or set on a lampstand? In other words, it's to be shining out. You put that lamp, you put that light somewhere where it's going to illuminate the room. You don't install light bulbs under the couch, do you? It doesn't make sense. You put them up on the ceiling where it's going to shine brightly everything around you. And in the same way, as Christians, we're to be living our life in a way where that light is being cast and it's shining brightly. If you've received God's word and it's taking root in your life, then there's light to shine. If you're the word of God in your heart, there's a light to shine. So go and shine your light. Look at what Jesus says also in Matthew chapter 5. He says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So in other words, our light is to be seen. Notice what Jesus says there. He says, you are the light of the world. He doesn't say, hey, one day you're going to be a light, I hope. And say, hey, when time's right or when the conditions are right, oh, there's going to be a light shining out of you. No, he says to the disciples, and he would say to us, you are the light of the world. It's already there. Shine it out. Let it be seen. Let it be evident. And how is it going to be evident, as Jesus says there in that verse? How is it going to be evident? That they might see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, I am definitely on board in favor of people going out and sharing the gospel verbally, being a witness. I'm in favor of that. I think that's something that we should be doing, telling people about Jesus. But listen here, what Jesus says here, there's another dynamic at work too, and it's in the way that you simply live your life. That people are going to be taking note and seeing that. And there should be a difference within the believer, shouldn't there? In everything we do. You know, we talked about this a little bit on our Wednesday nights as we're going through the book of Jonah. But understand something here, people, all right? Sometimes we think that witnessing is something we just kind of turn on. You know, we flick a light switch like we're turning on a light. And we think, oh, I'm going out to witness today. All right, I got tracts with me. I'm going to go and share the gospel. We sometimes think that witnessing is something we go and do. I want you guys to understand something here. As believers, as followers of Christ, you are always on. In other words, you are always being a witness one way or the other. There are times where we're being a witness of the Lord Jesus, and we're shining our light in a great way, and there are other times where we are not really doing what we should be doing, and we're being a witness on the other side of the scale. We're being a bad witness of Jesus. But understand, as believers, your life is a witness 24/7. Whew. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? That's pretty serious stuff. That doesn't comfort me, but it makes me realize I want to be shining my light in everything I'm doing, whether it's something I'm saying or whether it's just in what I do, how I respond to different circumstances, how I act, how I live my life. Because when people know that you are a believer, trust me, they're going to be watching. And they're hoping that you mess up because it's going to make them feel a lot better about their life. Oh, Christian, look at them. They're doing the same things I do. What do I need that for then? I guess I'm okay. If they go to church and they're a Christian, they're doing those things, then I guess I'm all right too. We're being a witness, people, in everything that we're doing. So Jesus says, go and shine your light that they may see your good works and in turn that they might glorify your Father. Live in a manner where people can't help but to say, wow, there's something going on there. Boy, there must be a God because you're responding in ways or you're acting in ways that I just don't really see otherwise. There's got to be something different at work here. Yeah, gives us opportunity to say, that's Jesus. He died for me and he rose again. He's given me life. That's Jesus. Being a witness, you see, our light is to be seen. And so, we're to be those that have received God's word, but now also we put that into practice, don't we? Being doers of the word. And this incredible truth and good news that we have been given is not meant to be hidden. This has never been God's intent. Those that have received God's word, all of you that have received God's word, how are you living that out? What are you doing with that seed that's been planted in your life? Is it growing? Is it bearing fruit? And don't begin to think that you've got to figure out who should hear it or that you just got to be careful not to be frivolous with the giving out of that word, with that treasure, with that gospel. Man, just begin to shine that light. It's not meant to be kept secret, as we've been told here. And Jesus says that there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. In other words, there's no secrets in the kingdom. And there's no secret illumination that's needed for the truth of God. If anybody ever comes to you and says, hey, listen, we've been given, I know what you guys follow, but we've been given some secret truth here. And if you just kind of come and follow our way, well, then maybe one day you'll be illuminated in that, as though it's some kind of secret thing that we've got to discover and figure out. Listen, Jesus has given us everything we need right here. And there are no secrets. There's nothing he's kind of holding back and saying, well, that's maybe not for right now. And I don't know about this. You're not quite ready. Just, this is an open book here. And he wants us to receive this. Nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Now, going back to what we saw there in Mark 4, verse 12 from a few weeks ago. Look at that. Because this can be a troubling verse. So, Jesus says, seeing that they may see and not perceive. And this is why he was speaking in parables. He tells them here, seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now, there are those that could read this and think that God was purposefully keeping truth from some people and keeping the light from certain people. But that's not the case at all. You see, everyone is given the opportunity to hear and respond, but many have not cultivated that soil within their heart to receive it. And many don't want to. There are those with just a blatant, hard heart that say, I don't want anything to do with this. So Jesus is saying here, I'm going to cast out this truth, but there are some that have heard, but they're not going to understand because they're choosing not to. Now that Jesus is withholding that from them, but he's putting it out in a way where if you truly want to seek after it, you're going to discover it. You're going to find it. You're going to receive it. And there's going to be understanding. But for the rest, he's almost protecting them from greater condemnation and judgment because they're going to walk away going, well, that was a neat story, but it's got nothing for me. But you see, if they want to hear more about it and go, well, that was interesting. That's kind of pricked something in my heart here. I want to investigate that. I want to hear more. Then it's going to be opened up to them, you see. And they will receive. This goes along with what we read next there in verse 24. Check this out. Verse 24, then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. So Jesus says, we need to pay attention to what we're hearing. That's what he says, take heed. It means pay attention. perk up here now. Listen to what is being poured out there. Because as we do, think about what is being said, and here it's pertaining to what Jesus speaks to us, then we're going to gain much. As we perk up, as we pay attention to what is being said, then we're going to gain much. Now let's face it, guys. I'm sure there's been times where somebody's been speaking to us and we've just tuned them out, right? All right? Everybody probably most Sunday mornings have experienced that, right? And so time somebody's speaking, you're just kind of like, you know, yeah, whatever, you know, and you're tuning it out. Like maybe when your wife is going over her experience with the laundry, you know, and you just kind of are, yeah, whatever, you know, just get through it, right? Next thing you know, your laundry's all coming back pink. You know, your white shirts are all pink now. It's like, oh man, maybe I should have paid attention to what was being said there. Or, you know, when your husband is talking about his golf game or something like that, you know, face it, wives, your minds are on anything but that. And you hear just, you know, Charlie Brown's teacher, wah, 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 you know, like that, right? You're saying, whatever, get through that, right? And then you're complaining that your husband never opens up to you. And he's like sitting there trying to pour out his heart to you, right? But we all have had that experience of tuning things out. And here's the principle at work. As we take in the truth of God's word, the amount of energy we put into it will determine what we get out of it. The amount of energy that we put into receiving that is the same as what we're going to get out of it then. Our getting will be determined by our giving. You see how that works? This is what Jesus is saying here in verse 24 and 25. The person that hears the word and embraces it will discover the incredible treasure that it is, and he'll find himself getting far more out of it than he ever possibly would have imagined. It's the same way with any just kind of study that we put ourselves to, isn't it? Right? Any kind of study that we put ourselves to, it's the same way. It has the same kind of principle. In school, and I've shared this with you before, but I was quite happy just getting by. All right? I was not too concerned about my academic grades and everything like that. I was not big on academic pursuits. I just wanted to graduate and get out of school. I didn't care what it took, as long as I graduate, just get me by, you see? And so there was a lot of stuff that I tuned out. To where now, even what I had seems to be gone from me. I look at my kids' homework that they're working on these days. And they're like, Dad, what do you think about this? I'm like, you better ask your mother about that one. That is like crazy, you know. I'm talking about Levi in grade 2. I'm like, you talk to your mom, because that's like, woo, way over my head. You know what I'm saying? Forget this. Everything that I thought I knew, it's like, it's gone, because I never treasured it. I never went after it, you see. And so it's the same way here. As believers, we should never think that we've achieved it all, that we've gained everything, that we now have a solid grasp of God's word. Oh, I pray that we can say, yeah, I have a good working knowledge of God's word. But you know what? Every day that you dig into it, God's going to reveal his treasure to you. And it's going to be like, it's like, wow, where did that come from? I don't remember reading that before. Because everything that you're going through, God's going to use his word to speak to you. And it's going to be applicable for what you're going through in that period in your life. And God's word is just built that way, where it's going to speak to you in an ongoing way, to where we can say now, I never want to get to a point where I feel like I've reached the top, reached the pinnacle, that there's nothing more for me. We need to be keeping on growing in the Lord and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ through the word of God. Amen? Listen to what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. And you see, as we keep growing, man, we keep benefiting. The word and revelation of Jesus continues to amaze us. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon said here. He said, the hearer of the gospel will get measure for measure, and the measure shall be his own measure. And it works out just this way. To the one with no interest in the gospel, the preaching of the gospel seems uninteresting. To the one who wants to find fault with the church or the preacher, they find plenty of faults. On the other hand, the more blessed hand, those who hunger find food, and those who want the solid truth receive something from any faithful ministry. That's the way it works, people. People can come to church and go, well, I'm going to just come and show up, but that worship team better be on. They better not be too loud, and that preacher better not go over 30 minutes, you know. And people can come with this attitude. You know what? They're probably not going to get a lot out of it. But if they come going, Lord, speak to me, minister to me. My life is just yours. It's surrendered before you. I want you to be glorified today. And as we come with that kind of attitude saying, I want to come to receive from the Lord, boy, God's not going to disappoint. How does this all work? Well, look at what Jesus says here next in verse 26 as he goes on to talk about the parable of the growing seed now. The parable of the growing seed. And he said in verse 26, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head. After that, the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Here in this parable, now in this one, is only mentioned in the Gospel of Mark. It's kind of a unique parable to Mark's Gospel. But here we see the power now of the Gospel. A farmer knows the conditions that are going to help or hinder the growth of the seeds that are planted and to bring in the harvest. He understands the things that are going to be beneficial, but the actual bringing forth of life from just a little seed is a mystery to the farmer. He plants this hard, lifeless looking seed in the ground. Suddenly, life is emerging from that. Now, that part is a mystery. That's something that we look at and go, wow, that is incredible. The farmer can sleep by day, it says. He can rise, sleep by night, or sleep at day, whatever you want to do. But he would probably sleep by day, night, right? Sleep by night, rise by day, it says. But you see, it's what's contained within that seed that brings life all by itself, it says here. It's what's contained already in that seed that brings life all by itself. And that's the Greek word for all by itself is the Greek word automate. Where we get our English word, grow. I'm teasing, it's automatic. I'm just making sure you're all listening. Yeah, all by itself, automate. It's automatic. It's something that's already inherent within that seed. The farmer doesn't have to go and start, you know, caressing that seed, you know, speaking tenderly to it, you know, and just making sure everything's right. He just puts that seed in the ground, and suddenly the earth of its own accord begins to allow that earth to yield crop all by itself, automatically. You know, we've been given an incredible resource, haven't we? It's the Word of God, an incredible treasure. We may not know how it totally works, but as we take it in and as we give it out, guess what? Lives are changed because there's life right here within this Word of God. And as we give out the Word of God, lives are affected and impacted and changed. And it's not our doing. It's the Lord that does it through the Word of God. Nobody really enjoys reading through an instruction manual, right? You know, a lot of you men, you're like, you get something and there's the instruction manual. You're just like, forget it, man. I'm not even going to consult that thing. And you start putting, and then you realize you got like 10 bolts left over and going, man, I hope those weren't important. Oh boy. But we don't like to read manuals. It's like, man, that's tedious work. And sometimes, you know, we can think of the Bible that way, right? We can think of the Bible as just a list of, you know, rules and it's just a manual like, oh man, it's just tedious. But understand something here. The Bible is so much greater than that because it contains life. The Word of God contains life. That's why Jesus refers to the Word of God as a seed that goes out. Because within that seed, there is life within it. And as the Word of God gets into us and we get into the Word of God, man, it changes us. As we get the Word of God out to other people, it changes people because there's life in it. That's why I'm so passionate just to teach the Word of God. You know, I could come and give a nice little sermonette, tell great stories. But you know what? There's no life in that. It's the Word of God that makes a difference, people. And so I trust that you are all moving on to maturity as we study this Word together, as we do Sundays and Wednesdays. We need to take heed to what we hear here. If we're just showing up to feel good about being at church, or it's just filling a social need that we have, you're going to miss out on so much. Come to church, not because you have to, because you're going, man, I want to be fed today. I want the Word of God just to impart that life into me and strengthen me. Listen to what is being said in the Word. Apply it, and you will find yourself strengthened and enriched and blessed as you draw closer to Jesus. Amen? Awesome. Verse 29. Now, it kind of interesting here, but when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Now, there's a couple of views in mind here as to what is this referring to. First view is it could be referring to a person coming to salvation, that when a person hears the word and receives it unto salvation, they are, in a sense, harvested, that they're brought into the kingdom of God. They've heard the word. We know Romans 9 tells us that it's by, or sorry, Romans 10, that it's by, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, you see? And so these are people that have heard the word of God, and it's brought faith in Jesus Christ. They're saved now. There's a great harvest that comes as they receive Jesus as Lord and Savior by hearing the word of God. So it speaks of salvation. Second view is that it speaks of death. That as we come to faith in Christ and we're saved, well, we grow, we mature until our work on earth is done and finished, which only Jesus knows. It's appointed unto man, a time to die. I'm paraphrasing that, of course, but every person is appointed a time in which their time is up, and they're going to stand before the Lord. And so this could be speaking in a time when the grain ripens, when our life has reached full maturity, when we've completed the work that we have been born to do of Jesus Christ, and he puts in the sickle, and the harvest has come. We're harvested into the kingdom of God in that eternal state. Both of these views could fit here, but what we do see here is vitally important, is that we see the word go out. Now, we're reminded here as well of a few things as we're looking at the seed and the word of God and the planting of it. We're reminded here, first of all, that it comes by mysterious growth. It's not through strategies of evangelism or through following some number of a step-style program. You know, well, I followed this number of steps and, well, this is how it's all come to be. It's simply a work of the Lord that we can't always comprehend. We don't always get it, what the Lord is doing or how the Lord has changed that life and done that. But we just rejoice in the Lord for what he's done. As the word goes out, there's mysterious growth. And we know also that it's gradual growth, right? A harvest does not come overnight. You don't go and throw that seed in the ground, wake up the next morning and go, where's the harvest? What's going on? It's a gradual growth. It's one that we need patience in. Patience with one another, patience with ourselves, but we never give up. Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And it has certain growth, right? We give out the word of God, and we know that as the growth in life is inherent within the seed, so too life is held within the word of God. And it will grow and bear fruit if we sow it faithfully. Isaiah 55:11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So these parables would have brought great comfort and encouragement to these disciples in thinking, you know, I'm sure at times they're thinking, what do I have to offer? You know, I'll never be as good of a teacher as Jesus. How am I going to carry on this work? Listen, they didn't have to be as good as Jesus. They had the power of the word of God. And it's illustrated once more for us in this last parable, the parable of the mustard seed. Look at verse 30. And we're going to end with this one here, okay? Verse 30 to 34. To what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. And with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. But without a parable, they did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. So here Jesus says, from just such a small seed, small as a mustard seed, which was oftentimes used as an analogy for something small turning into something very big. The rabbis would use that as a common kind of metaphor. So the mustard seed here, something very small, can come from it a very disproportionate growth or object. In other words, we don't need to start big. We just need to be faithful to plant. And if we are faithful to plant the right goods, we will see something big come from it. And this is exactly what we saw with the church. It started out very small, didn't it? Jesus just having 12 disciples with him, you know, just pouring into them. And then the disciples in turn going and sharing the gospel. And there on the day of Pentecost, the birth of the church, 3,000 people suddenly saved. Suddenly we saw from just a small seed something great grow from it here. And oftentimes people see in this parable it representing the church. Indeed, church had small beginnings. And then we see something interesting come up here. We see in verse 32, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. We see these birds coming out, nesting in its large branches. Now, there's a couple views in mind here as to what this is speaking of as well. First view here, people believe that this is speaking of how the church grew large and became a place for all people to take refuge in. That it became something that impacted all nations, and the birds represented the Gentile nations that would be able to be brought in now. And so the church started small, but grew great and large, and it was all-encompassing. It was for all people to come and find refuge in. There's another view, a second view, that many people hold. And it is the view that the birds here are actually picturing Satan. Now look at what it says in verse 15. Because remember, in the parable of the soils, the seed was scattered first of all, but the birds there came and plucked up the seed on the path. Remember? So what did Jesus say about those birds in verse 15? He said, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So if we're keeping consistent with this interpretation of what the birds are here now, in verse 32, this would be speaking of Satan coming into and infiltrating the church. And that's also something that we have seen through history. Because as the church began to grow, it also became very corrupt. And we see Satan having his emissaries at work within the church, trying to corrupt and change, in fact, what Jesus had simply set out to do from the beginning. And we can see some weird and wacky things going on even today in the church and in the name of Christ. I've seen it at times, and I'm thinking, this is not of the Lord at all. Lori's going to be touching on some of those things in a few weeks on Wednesday, I think, here talking about the church and some of the dangers and deceptions that come in even within the church. So we understand that you know Satan doesn't care if you're going to church. He's fine with that, because there's a lot of people that go to church, but they, again, have not allowed the word to come in and take root in their heart and to change them. And they're just kind of going through the motions. And there are many people that you can talk to who say, yeah, I'm a Christian, I go to church, but they're not living at all like Jesus or according to the word of God. And you see, that's what Satan is happy about. He doesn't care if you come to church. He just wants to keep you from really growing in Jesus. From having the word come and take root in your heart. Satan is at work even within the church. We saw that a couple weeks ago, even with Jesus. He goes into the synagogue. A great picture there. And within the synagogue is a demon-possessed man. You see? And that's where we have to be on guard. We have to be discerning. Because Satan is at work to come and deceive people and be at work through his people and trying to distract people from really, truly receiving the word and growing in Jesus. That's why we need to stand guard. So there's a couple of views here. It's speaking of great growth, good growth. It's also speaking of bad growth. Certainly the church growing large, and we see how just from a few people, there are millions of Christians around the world today. We do see great growth, but we also see that within the church, there's a lot of compromise, a lot of corruption that can often take place too. Today, maybe I'll go with the great growth, the first illustration, because I've taught it before about it being bad growth. So now I can kind of cover my bases. And so people can say, well, yeah, Pastor Brent taught it that way. Yeah, and he taught it that way. So either way, we're covered. So now I lean to the second one, that it's speaking certainly as Jesus refers to Satan as the birds, speaking of it that way. But I'll leave it with you to kind of go through on your own as well. But interesting situation, but certainly we see from just something small, you know, God has done great things indeed. And he's at work in all of our lives, you know. And the Bible says that we should not despise the days of small beginnings, because from just something small, if we remain faithful, God will use that. God will bless it. And we see some great results come from that. And so, verse 33 and 34, with many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it, but without a parable, he did not speak to them. And when they were alone, he explained all things to his disciples. The disciples, even, remember, they did not get it at first. They came to him after the parable of the soils. Jesus, what is this all about? You see, they were blessed because they searched after it. They didn't just kind of harden their heart and say, ah, whatever, I'm going to tune that out. They poured into it, you know. And Jesus continued to teach them. And he taught to them, you know, through parables. And he continually, you know, reapplied that or gave them the application, the truth of that as they sought it out. And so I pray that we're those that are coming to the Lord saying, Jesus, daily, you know, teach me in your word here. Let your word, and we know today as we've seen that there's power in the word, may you plant your word upon my heart. May you cause growth in my life. Lord, may I daily becoming more like you, Jesus. Do that work in our lives, and may we seek it out, and we will find that we will indeed find great treasure as we seek after. And so, we're going to look at this next week now, picking it up in verse 35. No, actually, Rob Lee's going to be sharing next week. So, in a couple of weeks, we'll pick it up in verse 35. Because here we see now, after giving these great teachings, there's going to be something else that's going to come up for the disciples here. What happens when you're in school? What typically follows a period of teaching? Tests. There you go. I hate tests. But guess what? Tests reveal to us how we're doing. Are we getting it? Is this stuff being applied? And so in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at a test now that Jesus gives the disciples after this period of teaching. All right? And we're going to learn some great things from that as well. So let's pray.